Let us read those mantras of Mundakopanishad. Om Bhadram Karne Vishnuyama Deva Bhadram Pashye Makshabharijatra Sthirai Rangai Stushtubhagam Sustanubhi Vyashema Deva Hitayadayuhu Swasti Naindra Vruddhashrava Swasti Nafkosha Vishwaveda Swasti Nastarksho Arishtanemihi Swasti No Brihaspatir Dadhatu Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. So we begin our class with focus attention on being able to memorize the Mundaka mantras, so that you will remember the mantra means also. Let us read the mantras first. Om Brahma Devanam Prathamasam Babhuva Vishvasya Karta Bhavanasya Gopta Sabrahma Vidyam Sarva Vidya Pratishtam Atharvaya Jeshta Putraya Praha Atharvaneyam Pravadeta Brahma Atharvatam Purovachangire Brahma Vidyam Sabharadvajaya Satyavahaya Praha Bharadvajongirase Paravaram Shaunakohave Mahashalaha Angirasam Vidivadupasannah Papracha Kasminna Bhagavo Vignate Sarvamidam Vignatam Bhavatiti Tasmai Sahovacha Vevidye Veditavye Itihasmayat Brahmavido Vadanti Parachaiva Paracha Tatra Para Rigvedo Yajurveda Samavedo Tharvavedaha Siksha kalpo vyakaranam niruktam chando jyotishamiti athaparayaya tadaksharam adhigamyate yattadadresham agrahim agotram avarnam achakshu shrotram tadapanipadam nityam vibhum sarvagatam susokshum tadavyayam yadbhutayonim paripashyanti dhiraha yathornana bhisujate grinnate cha yatha prithivyamoshadhayasam bhavanti Yatha satap purushat keshalo mani tathakshara sambhavatiha vishwam tapasavchiyate brahma tato namabhijayate annat prano manas satyam loka karma suchamrutam yas sarvajna sarvavid yasya jnanamayam tapaham tasmadetat brahma namarukumannam cha jayate. Iti mundakopanishadi patha mundake prathamah kandaha Pratham Mundake Dvitiya Kandaha. Second section begins of the first Mundaka. Second section of the first Mundaka. Tadetat Satyam Mantreshu Karmani Kavayoyanya Pashyan Tanitretayam Bahudhasantatani Tanyacharathani Niyatam Satyakama Yeshavapantha Sukrutasya Loki. As we saw already, this the whole section, the whole of Mundaka Upanishad, the second section of first Mundaka is the easiest section. Know why? It discusses only about the Aparavidya. So the first section of first Mundaka introduced Paravidya and Aparavidya. Then the second section of first Mundaka discusses elaborately the Aparavidya. Why? Aparavidya is a small topic. Therefore, the whole of second section of first Mundaka alone discusses elaborately the Aparavidya. But the whole second chapter means first section, second section, both sections, the whole Mundaka, second Mundaka is going to elaborately discuss only the Paravidya. Therefore, Paravidya, the interesting topic, which you'll enjoy it, will be following the second Mundaka. But now, we are going to say only Aparavidya. You say Aparavidya is all about karma and upasanam. But it is also not unimportant topic. Whoever wants to have the core vision of the entire Veda, if you want to have the core vision of the entire Veda, without even studying the entire Veda, It is important for us to understand the Aparavidya portion discussed in the Upanishads. Therefore, now we have seen in the first verse that here the teacher tells, he addresses the student as Satya Kamaha, but we have to be very careful in Mundakopanishad. The words are given completely different meanings. The word Satya Kamaha literally means lover of the truth. Okay? One who is desirous of the truth is Satya Kamaha. But here the word Satyam means Karma Phalam. Satyam implies what? Karma Phalam. A fruit of an action. A fruit of any ritual, any action. It can be a worldly action, mundane activity, or it can be a religious activity of a ritual. Religious activity or secular or sacred activity results. So those who are desirous of enjoying the benefits, the results of mundane or religious activities are said to be Satya Kamaha. Why? Because if any karma performed, definitely result is produced. No action ever goes without producing a result. Definitely the result may be desirable or the undesirable, but generally results are definite. Therefore, the result of action, the benefit of performing a ritual, is also known by the term Satyam. Okay? Definitely it happens without fail. And those who are desirous of desirable, preferable benefits, results of rituals or actions are said to be Satya Kamaha. And here the Rishi addresses the two students as, hey Satya Kamaha, oh you people, you who are all desirous of enjoying the benefits of rituals, and may you all perform those rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Veda. That is the instruction given. We saw in the first mantra, we already seen the first mantra. Just read once quickly and before we move on to the next verse. Tadetat satyam mantreshu karmani kavayo yanya pashyan tanitretayam bahudha santatani tanyacharathaniyatam satyakamaha yeshavapantha sukrutasya loke tadetat satyam. Please always nowadays hereafter, please focus on these mantras with an intention of memorizing them, getting them memorized. Repeatedly chanting the mantras, you can have them, get them memorized. Tadetat satyam mantreshu karmani kavayo yanya pashyan tanitretayam bahudha santatani tanyacharathaniyatam satyakamaha yeshavah pantha sukrutasya loke. So the great rishis, kavayaha, have already explained the meaning of the word kavayaha, have we? Yeah. So kavihi literally means seer, and here kavihi is the seer of the truth, but here kavihi is the seer of facts also. Okay, need not be the ultimate reality, but seer of many facts. So kavayaha mantreshu yanya pashyan. So the rishis have discovered many facts revealed to them, and those they revealed in the mantras in the Karmakanda of the Veda. And may you perform those rituals prescribed or revealed by the rishis. Thereby what happened? You can earn punyam. So performance of those rituals will contribute for accumulating punyam, as a result of which, or with the help of which, one can earn abundance of punyam, one can earn punyam. Vaha sukrutasya vaha eshaha panthaha. This is the means of accumulating punyam for all of you. This is the teaching given with the verse. We have already seen this, we completed the meaning of this verse. Have you completed? Remember? Okay. Now we move on to the next verse, next mantra. Do you all remember you completed this verse? I talked elaborately and all about rituals, panchamahayagyas, everything. Okay, now, in the next mantra, straight away introduces the Agnihotra, or how a ritual must be performed, especially Agnihotram ritual. It better say the mantra first. Yada lelayate hyarchihi, yada lelayate hyarchihi, samidhe havyavahane. Yada lelayate hyarchihi, samidhe havyavahane, tadajabhagavantarena, ahutihi pratipadayet. Yada lelayate hyarchihi, samidhe havyavahane, tadajabhagavantarena, ahutihi pratipadayet. So, yada lelayate hyarchihi, samidhe havyavahane, tadajabhagavantarena, ahutihi pratipadayet. So, having given the instruction in the first mantra, that the instruction of the rishis, Rishi tells the mantra, may you all perform rituals revealed in the mantras, revealed to those rishis. That is the only means of accumulating punyam. Punyam for what? Punyam for enjoyment of pleasures in this world. Punyam required for the enjoyment of pleasures even life after. After the death in higher lokas also. So if you want to enjoy pleasures, you want to avoid pains. You want to avoid pains, we must accumulate pain, pleasure, accumulate punyam. And to accumulate punyam, of course, Shastra tells living a life of dharma is only means of accumulating punyam. Apart from that, the punya karma, how you can organize yourself, you can spend your time, more and more time in worshipping, in praying, in performing rituals, invoking the grace of devatas. This worship also becomes a punya karma. It's a means of earning punyam. So this is the means of accumulating punyam. Because performing rituals means you're invoking the grace of Bhagavan in the form of natural phenomena. So that earning punyam, with that punyam, one can avoid experiencing pain in this world. One can enjoy pleasures in this world. And if the amount of punyam is different, one can enjoy pleasures even after leaving this physical body. Even higher loka, one can enjoy punyam or enjoy pleasures. But this, the pleasures enjoyable as a result of this punyam one earned through rituals will not liberate a person from bondage of karma, will not bless one. Best person, moksha. But still, one can enjoy pleasures. Therefore, he says, Sukrutasya eshaha panthaha, the teacher said. This is the means of accumulating punyam for you in this world. So, how often assertively the mantra states, if you want to enjoy pleasures in life, not moksha, definitely you need punyam. Without punyam, you cannot enjoy any sukham. You can't enjoy any arthakamas also. Desirable arthakamas you can't enjoy. And for which you need punyam. And one of the means, the important means of earning punyam is worshipping Bhagavan in the form of devatas. Invoking their grace. For which you can offer oblations. So the means is given in this Karmakanda of the Veda. Having said that, now in the second mantra, Upanishad says how the simplest ritual can be performed. And what is simplest ritual? The simplest and the smallest of the rituals of Karmakanda is Agnihotram Karma. Agnihotram Karma, Agnihotram Karma, the ritual of performing Agnihotram is in fact a Nitya Karma. That's why it's called Nitya Agnihotram Karma. Ritual which should be performed every day. And how it must be performed? The instruction is given in the second mantra. It is not that we should be performing the ritual, but it is instructed for the person who is eligible to perform the ritual. Let us understand here. So, the Upanishad wants to introduce at least some ritual. Even though Upanishad cannot introduce, talk about all rituals, the Upanishad also talks about rituals, then Upanishad cannot be called Upanishad. It will become Karmakanda. Isn't it? If Upanishad cannot talk about all many different varieties of rituals in the Upanishad portion, then it will become a Karmakanda. But Upanishad happens to be the end portion of the Veda. And Upanishad does not recommend many rituals. But still, in order to help us have the core vision of the Shastra, Upanishad also introduces, even though Upanishad is different from the Karmakanda portion, still Upanishad also here talks about some ritual. All fire rituals have been prescribed by the Vedasha, Karmakanda of the Veda. But those rituals prescribed by the Veda are for rituals prescribed in the Vedashastram are for the well-being of the human beings only. Anything prescribed in the Vedashastram is not for the sake of Vedashastram, is not even for the sake of any other being in the world, or mainly for the well-being of the human beings. So by human beings, by performing those rituals prescribed for the well-being of human beings also can contribute for the well-being of the rest of the world, all other beings also. Therefore, and this, the simplest, smallest, the fundamental of all the rituals of Karmakanda is said to be Agnihotram. And people who are involved in performing these rituals are known as Nitya Agnihotri. A person who is involved in performing this smallest fundamental ritual called Agnihotram is known as Nitya Agnihotri. Nitya Agnihotri. Why a person, the performer of the ritual is called a Nitya Agnihotri? Because whoever performs Agnihotram ritual, he must be a strictly a disciplined person. Even the ritual is a simple ritual, still the performer must be a highly disciplined person. The performance involves effort, great effort also. Doing a japam regularly. Suppose people go and get mantra upadesha from teachers. And then they ask initially, when they initiate into the mantra japa, and initially few days they'll be very deliberately, very diligently practicing japa. After 1 week or 1 month or 2 months or few weeks and they were traveling, they give up japa. And people are not disciplined. They do not follow. If we ask them, do you do regular japa? Yeah, I was doing a stop. When should it start again? Is a good day for me to start again? People ask, come and ask me also. They come and desperately beg for mantra upadesha. Once the mantra, the upadesha is done, and they don't even strictly follow. It is very difficult for people to continuously maintain the discipline of doing something regularly. Not an easy joke. It may be a simple mantra japa. It can be even the worship of Bhagavan in three meeting points of the day. Okay, in dawn, noon and dusk, when a sandhya vandanam. Or whatever it is people are not very disciplined. It means this Agnihotram itself is called Nitya Agnihotram. The performance is called Nitya Agnihotri because the person without leaving it even for a day, diligently from the time the person is initiated into the performance of ritual until his last breath, until he becomes very sick or something, until he is not able to do that situation, he will continue to do the ritual. And not only that, if whenever the person is not able to do, he would have already initiated his son or a eligible person to continue what he has been doing. Therefore, the fire used for performing Agnihotram ritual is always kept alive. It never gets put off. The people never put off the fire used for performing Agnihotram ritual. At least the fire will be always there. Now, Agnihotram ritual, which is discussed in the Veda Shastram, also involves Agni Kunda. Agni Kundaha. Agni Kundaha means the fireplace. And the Agni Kunda used for performing Agnihotram ritual is called Ahavaniya Agnihi. And you will have noticed in temples, you might have noticed when the given ritual is performed, the Agni Kunda can be of different sizes and different shapes. Some can be round, the circular form, some can be the rectangular, some Agni Kundas can be like a square, some can be like a pentagon, the different shapes of Agni Kundas are there. So therefore, we cannot simply make our own design. So what should be the shape of the Agni Kunda? Okay. Also, it's already, there's a rule and there is a regulation what is the shape, what is the size of the Agni Kunda also. And this particular, the fireplace, Agni Kunda, is known as Ahavaniya Agnihi. So for the particular specific Nitya Agnihotram, the Agni Kunda must be of rectangular form, rectangular shape. You can imagine the rectangular shape of the Agni Kunda. And the performer of the ritual is called Yajamanaha. Yajate, root is Yaj Dhatu. Yajate, Yajati is Ubhayapadi Dhatu. Yajati means worships. Yajate also means worships. Worships means worships through the performance of ritual. And the person who is Shanaj Pratyaya, who is worshipping, the worshipping person is called Yajamanaha. So the worshipping person is called Yajamana. The worshipper is Yajamana. And this Yajamanaha, the performer of this ritual, when he begins to perform the Agnitya Agnihotram ritual, he must receive the fire. From where? He must receive the fire from another fire known as Garhapatya Agnihi. Garhapatya Agnihi. What is Garhapatya Agnihi? The fire which is protected and preserved at home, and which has the capacity to protect the family. The fire, which is used for performing a ritual, and which has been being used for performing a ritual at home, and which has been preserved and protected at home, is known as Garhapatya Agnihi. Garhapatya Agnihi. You must not remember all the names. Garhapatya Agnihi. Grihapatihi. A fire is called Grihapatihi. The Lord of the house, the Lord of home is Grihapatihi. And it is been preserved at home, therefore it's called Garhapatya Agnihi. So the performer of the ritual, Yajamana, he has to take the fire. First time he performs, he has to take the fire from the Garhapatya Agnihi. Then he has to, using the Garhapatya Agni, the Yajamana must kindle fire. The first time performer must kindle fire in his rectangular shaped fireplace or Agni Kunda. In this rectangular shaped Agni Kunda, the ritual performer must kindle the fire first time. And to kindle the fire here in the rectangular shaped Kunda, he must have taken fire from the Garhapatya Agnihi, which has been preserved at home for generations also. And when he performs the ritual, when the ritual gets completed, again he must take some of the fire from this Ahavani Agnihi, and he must keep it together with the Garhapatya Agni. See, the fire which is kept alive, which is preserved at home, is supposed to remove all the bad things, bad omens, negative forces, or anything which causes the illness, anything which causes the, which brings poverty, etc., to the family, become removed because of this fire. So this Garhapatya Agnihi is worship, which is revered as the Lord of the home, is supposed to remove all the negative forces from the very area where that house is. So you cannot see how the gods are. We have gods protecting, I'm talking about a god, G-A-U-R-D, God. Protecting gods, but Grihapatihi, this Garhapatya Agnihi, otherwise said to be the Lord of the home, Grihapatihi, is in fact there like a god. It is in the form of the protector, in the form of the fire, Garhapatya. So imperceptible, invisible god protector is in the form of this fire, Garhapatya Agnihi. Therefore, so people believed very strongly in Vedic period, wherever this Agnihotram ritual was performed and wherever they invoked, when the fire is newly lit, it is called Ahavani Agnihi, and the fire which is always kept preserved at home is called Garhapatya Agnihi. And in that family, in that house, and even the area where the house is, all bad and negative aspects will be removed. This is what they used to believe, and it was a fact also. So, Ahavaniya, Ahavaniya Agnihi. What's Ahavaniya Agnihi? The fire newly kindled in a rectangular shape Agnikunda, kept ready for performing Agnihotram. It's called Ahavaniya Agnihi. And then Ahavaniya Agnihi, so how should the ritual be performed? That is what is said in this second mantra. So he says, Ahavaniyagni, yada archihi lelayate, yada hi archihi lelayate. Now, archihi means flame. Archihi means flame. Archihi, yeah, is stilinga shabda. Ikarantaha stilingaha archihi. So, yada archihi lelayate. Archish also we have. Shakaranta is a consonant ending word also. So, yada archihi lelayate. When the lelayate means, now the flames moving here and there is said to be lelayate. Lelayate means moves here and there or moves about. Moves about. Lelayate means moves about. Archihi lelayate. Yada hi archihi lelayate. He indeed, when the flame is moving about, and the flame is moving about, where in that rectangular shaped Agnikunda, you can say the fireplace, the rectangular shaped Homakunda or a Yajnikunda, where when the fire is moving about, Yada Archihi Lelayate, Tada, Yada Archihi Lelayate, Tada Ahutihi Pratipadayet. Pratipadayati means offers. Pratipadayati offers, gives. So ahutihi is ikaranta stilinga shabda. Where ahutihi is objective plural. Ahutihi pratipadayet. So when the flame moves about, when the fire is kindled in the rectangular shape, Agnikunda or a Homakunda, the fireplace, when the flame comes up and moves about, the flame comes up and moves about, only then the fire is must be kindled when the flame moves about, then one must offer oblations. Ahutihi pratipadayet. See, ahutihi, ahutihi. Okay. Ahutihi pratipadayet. Must offer oblations. And how many times that is implied? Morning once and the evening once. Once in the morning, once in the evening. So this ritual is supposed to be performed every day. Every day two times. So twice a day ritual must be performed. So oblations also must be offered two times a day. Once in the morning, once in the evening. So, ahutihi pratipadayet. So, there's the Agnihotram performed in the morning. Pratah kalina Agnihotram. Then, sayang kalina Agnihotram. Sayang kalina Agnihotram. Agnihotram performed in the evening. Pratah kalina Agnihotram. Agnihotram performed in the morning. So twice Agnihotram must be performed. So oblations also must be offered twice a day. Okay. But how, okay, now when should we offer? When the Ahavaniya Agnihi is lit and when the flame comes up, and moves about, then one must offer oblations. When it should be oblation must be offered has been said. Where it must be offered, how exactly should the oblations be offered, that is said in the next sentence. Yada lelihyate archihi. Okay. Samidhe havya vahane. See, havya vahanaha is the name of the, one of the words meaning the fire. Fire has different words. Havya vahanaha is a word, another word for fire. Havyam. Havyam means what? Havis means oblation. Ghee or anything which is to be offered into the fire is called havya. And vahanaha means carrier. Havya vahanaha. The fire has so many words in Sanskrit language. Agnihi. No, you know so many words you have. Agni is a very well-known name. But here, Havya Vahanaha is a specially used name for fire in the Karmakanda portion. Why? Because fire is said to be the carrier of oblations. When you invoke the grace of any devata, any phenomenon, you offer oblations into the fire, and the fire alone is supposed to carry the oblations to different devatas. Whether you invoke the grace of Vayu, wind, whether you invoke the grace of rains, whether you invoke the grace of any devata, oblations have to be offered into the fire. Therefore, fire is this like a postman. Okay, the postman is the carrier of your post letters, everything. Nowadays, who posts? Nowadays, we all have email, isn't it? So, we don't have email service those days. So, you know, we had only postmen carrying. We had to wait for the postman. No? Arrival of postman was so anticipated those days. Postman comes means he may bring letters, he may get money order, he may get anything. So exciting. Nobody cares for postman nowadays because everything is email. Expect to get everything. But here Agnihi is called Havya Vahanaha. The postman is called Patravahakaha. Postman is called Patravahakaha. Patra Vahakaha or Patra Vahanaha. But here, Agni is called Havya Vahanaha. Because carrier of oblations to different devatas. Havya Vahanaha. And Havya Vahanaha, Samidhe Havya Vahane. When the fire is kindled well in the rectangular shape, Agni Kunda. And then when the flame also comes up and moves about, Yada archihi lelayate samidde havyavahane. And the agni is kindled, the flame comes up, and it's Hati Saptami expression. The fire comes and moves about, then ahutihi pratipadayet. Pratipadayati offers. Pratipadayet, may one offer. One must offer oblations. One should offer oblations. Ling, dat, ling verb, potential mood. Pratipadayet kim ahutihi, may one offer oblations. But where should one offer oblations? Antarena. Antarena. In the middle. Ajabhago antarena. Ajabhago antarena. So here, ajya means ghee. Ajyam means ghee. This also I mentioned earlier before. See, the ghee, when you melt the butter on the fire, you get the ghee, isn't it? When the butter is melted on fire, you get ghee. That ghee is called what? Ghritam. Ghritam. Ghee melted on the fire is called ghritam. Whereas ghee melted in sunlight is called ajyam. But you can't melt it in London fire, okay? UK fire, UK sunlight, you can't melt it. But in India, see, now you keep the fire of butter outside. You don't have to keep the sun. Inside the house also very hot. It will melt. So, the fire melted in sunlight is called ajyam. And that ghee alone, the ghee which is... the clarified butter melted in sunlight is used as an oblation. And Ajya Bhagaha. Okay. Ajya Bhagaha means the portion of the Agni Kunda where this ghee must be offered. So Ajya Bhagaha Antarena. Antarena means in the middle of the Ajya Bhagaha. What is Ajya Bhagaha? We have to say the right and the extreme right side of the Agni Kunda, the extreme left side of the Agni Kunda. Okay, the two ends, one is right side and the left side. So in between, that's called Ajya Bhagaha. Right side is Ajya Bhagaha. Left side also, extreme left side also is called Ajya Bhagaha. Ajya Bhagau means two sides, the right side and the left side where the ghee is poured. Right side and the left side are said to be Ajya Bhagau. Ajya Bhagau, the portion where in which the extreme right side of the Agni Kunda, extreme left side of the Agni Kunda, where the ghee is offered is called Ajya Bhagaha, Ajya Bhagau. Antarena means what? In between or in the middle of. So Ajya Bhagau Antarena means between, in between the right side and the left sides of the Agni Kunda, where the oblation, the ghee is offered as an oblation. Which means in the middle of the Agni Kunda, in the middle of the Agni Kunda. Ajya Bhagau Antarena means one should offer oblations into the fire in the middle of the Agni Kunda, in between the right and the left side of the Agni Kunda. Ajya Bhagau Antarena. So which is actually the middle part of the Agni Kunda. And this central portion of the Agni Kunda, central portion of the Agni Kunda, which is said to be in between the right and left sides of the Agni Kunda, where the ghee is offered, one must offer oblations. And the central portion of the Agni Kunda, in between right and left side of the Agni Kunda, is said to be what? Avapasthanam. Avapasthanam. So, that's all finished. This is the meaning of this. Nothing much in this. Nothing much to learn in this mantra. Okay, very simple. That's why I said you can relax the second chapter, second section. So, samiddhe havyavahane. So, locative case. Samiddha havyavahanaha. Well kindled the fire. Locative case, Sati Saptami. When the fire is well kindled, also then, when the flame of the fire moves about, yada hi archihi lelayate tada, it is then, ajya bhagau antarena, in the middle of the homakunda, in between the two sides, right and the left sides of the Agni Kunda, known as Ajya Bhagau. There, Ahutihi Pratipadayet. May one offer oblations. Finished. How oblation must be offered, that alone is instructed here. So what is the final lesson that is we are getting? Whether you perform Agnihotra ritual or not, see, it's a bounden duty of a human being to invoke the grace of Bhagavan, to express one's gratitude to Bhagavan for all that one is blessed with. Therefore, it's a compulsory, it's a must that one must learn to worship Bhagavan. Okay, one must worship. We should not forget, we should not fail, we should not miss to worship Bhagavan. Agni, when the Upanishad says, may one offer oblations, means not that exactly you must perform the fire Agnihotra ritual. No. What is the lesson taught through this lesson, the second mantra is, not simply we must perform exactly this Agnihotra ritual. One must somehow or the other, one must make it a point to not to forget worshipping Bhagavan. Worshipping Bhagavan means, so invoking the grace of Bhagavan in the form of all devatas. Because all these devatas are none other than natural phenomena, which alone contribute for our well-being. Sun, moon, stars, fire, wind, all the devatas contribute for our well-being. So our physical well-being, our emotional well-being, our life itself is possible, our food, our shelter, our clothing, everything is given by Bhagavan in the form of natural phenomena. Therefore, if these natural phenomena do not contribute, we cannot survive. So our survival in this world, okay, especially the food, shelter and clothing, everything is given by these devatas, natural phenomena, which are all revered as devatas, which are none other than manifestation of Bhagavan. Therefore, expressing our gratitude to Bhagavan in the form of natural phenomena alone is said to be a symbolic act of offering, which is worship. Okay? So what Bhagavan says here, by state this mantra actually gives us the instruction, may you all somehow worship Bhagavan in some form or the other. Okay, this is the lesson. But here it is instructed, Agnihotram ritual, how it should be performed. Remember all the names now. What is Ahavaniya Agnihi? What is Garhapatya Agnihi? What are said to be Ajyabhago? Where ritual of oblation must be offered? When oblation must be offered? When you can find the flame moving about, and how, when the fire is well kindled. Is it clear? Okay, move on to the next mantra. Yes, okay.
Yada lelayate hyarchihi samiddhe havyavahane tadajyabhagavantarena ahutihi pratipadayet.
Next mantra. Yes, yagnihotram. Now, if Agnihotram performed well, it is fine. If it is not performed properly, then one cannot enjoy the benefits of Agnihotram ritual. Not only one cannot enjoy the benefits of Agnihotram ritual, it will destroy the punyam for 7 janmas also. Therefore, it is said, okay, let us understand now. Don't think the mantra is frightening us. Just to make us have more Shraddha in what we are doing, mantra is giving a strict instruction here. Okay? Saying, look at this.
Yasyagnihotramadarshamapurnamasam. Yasyagnihotramadarshamapurnamasam. Achaturmasyam. Anagrayanam. Athiti varjitancha. Ahutamavaishvadevam. Avidhinahutam. ஆசப்தமான் ஸ்தஸ்ய லோகான் ஹி நஸ்தி யஸ்யாக்னிஹோத்ரமதர்ஷமபூர்ணமாசம் அச்சாதுர்மாஸ்யம் அநாக்ரயணம் அதிதிவர்ஜிதஞ்ச அஹுதமவைஷ்வதேவம் அவிதினாஹுதம் ஆசப்தமாம் ஸ்தஸ்ய லோகான் ஹி நஸ்தி யஸ்யாக்னிஹோத்ரமதர்ஷமபூர்ணமாசம் அச்சாதுர்மாஸ்யம் அநாக்ரயணம் அதிதிவர்ஜிதஞ்ச அஹுதமவைஷ்வதேவம் அவிதினாஹுதம் ஆசப்தமாம் ஸ்தஸ்ய லோகான் ஹி நஸ்தி யஸ்யாக்னிஹோத்ரமதர்ஷமபூர்ணமாசம் அச்சாதுர்மாஸ்யம் அநாக்ரயணம் அதிதிவர்ஜிதஞ்ச அஹுதமவைஷ்வதேவம் அவிதினாஹுதம் ஆசப்தமாம் ஸ்தஸ்ய லோகான் ஹி நஸ்தி யஸ்யாக்னிஹோத்ரமதர்ஷமபூர்ணமாசம் அச்சாதுர்மாஸ்யம் அநாக்ரயணம் அதிதிவர்ஜிதம் ச அஹுதமவைஷ்வதேவம் அவிதினாஹுதம் ஆசப்தமாம் ஸ்தஸ்ய லோகான் ஹி நஸ்தி ஆசப்தமாம் ஸ்தஸ்ய லோகான் ஹி நஸ்தி. திஸ் இஸ் தி மந்திர, தேர்ட் மந்திரா. As I said, all about Aparavidya only. Whether we are interested in Aparavidya or not, still we need to understand. So it is given here. So it is said, Asaptaman Lokan Hinasti. Asaptaman Lokan Hinasti. Hinasti is a verb. Hinasti means destroys. Hinasti destroys. Destroys what? Lokan. Destroys Lokan Hinasti. Lokan Hinasti. Lokan means, literally it means worlds. Worlds, it destroys worlds. So, Asaptaman. So, Lokan Hinasti, literally it means it destroys worlds. But, what exactly it means is, Saptama, seven generations. It will destroy the punyam of people of seven generations. It will destroy the punyam of people of seven generations. Asaptaman lokan hinas. Not only your punyam. Seven generations, they lose their punyam. Therefore, asaptaman lokan, asaptaman lokan hinasti. It will destroy the punyam of people of seven generations. Okay? Then, whose? Whose punyam of people of seven generations? Tasya asaptaman lokan hinasti. Next question comes. What destroys? What is that destroys? Destroys the punyam of people of seven generations of the person. What is it which destroys? Any persons. So who, what destroys the punyam of people of seven generations? He says, the person whose Agnihotram is performed improperly. So improper performer of Agnihotram, okay? The Agnihotram ritual must be performed with the Shraddha. If the ritual is not performed with the Shraddha properly, the improper performer of Agnihotram will have to face this problem that his, okay, the punyam of seven generations of his people will be destroyed. Okay? The improperly performed Agnihotram destroys the punyam of people of seven generations. Asaptaman lokan hinasti. Okay. So what is improperly performed Agnihotram ritual that is said here? Yasya Agnihotram adarsham. So adarsham. It will get you one by one. Okay. Adarsham number one. Apurnamasam number two, Achaturmasam number three, Anagrayam number four, Aditi Varjitam number five, Ahutam number six, Avaishwadevam number seven, Avidinahutam number eight. Okay, the eight defects are mentioned. Eight defects are not there, then the ritual, Agnihotram ritual performed is a perfect ritual. If the Agnihotram ritual performed involves eight defects, then it is improperly performed ritual. Which means, when does the Agnihotram ritual become the defective ritual? There are many other rituals. If Agnihotram ritual has to be performed, hope you're all listening. If Agnihotram ritual has to be performed, along with the Agnihotram ritual, as part of the Agnihotram ritual, okay, there are some other rituals also are prescribed by the Shastram. So many other rituals also have to be performed in order to make Agnihotram ritual effective. Therefore, Veda Shastram prescribes. Veda Shastram prescribes important rituals which have to be performed daily. Veda Shastram prescribes. The important rituals must be performed daily. They are known as Nitya Karmani. So Nitya Karmani are prescribed along with many other rituals. And if you ask, if the question rises, are there priests, are there people, Vaidikas in India, who are still strictly performing all these rituals? We ask the question. I cannot say yes. Because nowadays, it is not strictly followed even in India nowadays. But still what Radha Shastram prescribes, we have to understand. Okay, first. The ritual which has been performed every day is called Nitya Agnihotram. And if the Agnihotram has, the next ritual is, okay, Darsha Purnamasam ritual. The Darsha Purnamasa is actually, it was two words. One is Darshaha and Purnamasaha. Darshaha and Purnamasaha. Darshaha is a ritual specifically performed only on new moon days. Once a month, a ritual which should be performed specifically on a new moon day is called darshaha. Okay, a ritual which must be performed only specifically on a new moon day is called darshaha. A new moon in Sanskrit is called amavasya. Amavasya dine kriyavanaha yajnaha is called darshaha. Then next one, Paurnamasaha. Paurnamasaha is a ritual specifically performed only on the full moon day. A ritual which must be performed only on a full moon day is called Paurnamasaha. So Purnimayam Kriyavanaha Yajnaha Paurnamasaha. Amavasyayam Kriyavanaha Yajnaha Darshaha. Purnimayam Kriyamanaha Yajnaha Paurnamasaha. So the specific rituals, one ritual must be performed only on a new moon day, Darshaha, and Amavasya day, and the Paurnamasaha must be performed on Purnima, the full moon day. Okay, two rituals you learn now. Then third one. So even though Agnihotram is a ritual which must be performed every day, twice a day performed, but darshaha must be performed only on new moon day once a month, Paurnamasa must be performed only once a month on a full moon day. Okay, next, chaturmasyaha yajnaha. See, chatur means four. Masa means month. Chaturmasyaha means the ritual which must be performed, or a vratam. Okay, the ritual which must be performed once in 4 months. Chatursu maseshu ekavaram kriyamanaha yajnaha. So once in 4 months, the ritual which must be performed once in 4 months. So in a year, 12 months, three times a year, once in 4 months, a specific ritual must be performed. And that ritual is called chaturmasyaha. Please make a note. I don't know whether you heard about it or not. The sannyasis, once in a year, during monsoon times, they will not move from one place to another place. And for 4 months, in Indian, okay, in Indian monsoon time, 4 months, they will remain in one place. They will not move. See, the parivrajakaha, sannyasis are supposed to be moving from one place to the other. But during the rainy season, in order not to kill insects, not to kill worms, not to harm any living creatures, okay, just to avoid the papam earned as a result of killing some unknown, some worms and things like that, they will remain in monsoon times, they will remain in one place for 4 months. And that is called Chaturmasya Vratam. So remaining in one place during monsoon times for 4 months by sannyasis is called Chaturmasya Vratam. Chaturmasya Vratam is different from Chaturmasya Yajnaha. Is it clear? Yeah. Yeah. Don't get confused with that. So Chaturmasya Vratam of sannyasis is different from Chaturmasya Yajnaha. This Chaturmasya is a ritual which must be performed once in 4 months, three times a year. Chaturmasya. Okay. Now you heard how many? What is Darshaha? What is Paurnamasaha? Now you learned Chaturmasya. And then Nitya Agnihotra. Four you have learned. Next. Next we have pledge. Agrayanaha. Agrayanaha is a ritual which must be performed before the harvest, which is performed only during the harvest season. Agrayanaha is a ritual which must be performed specifically during the harvest season, before the harvest. Agrayanaha. And this is actually why, because when we do harvest, see, we're supposed to only cut which are ripe, ripe paddy, ripe grains. Even though we have to cutting the ripe grains, they're about to fall, about to die. Still, we may cause pain to the plants. Therefore, in order to neutralize the papam we are earning by causing pain to the plants by cutting those before the harvest season, we pray to Bhagavan, invoke Bhagavan's rays, okay? Then we do the harvesting. Therefore, the ritual performed before the harvest, time of harvest, is called so agrayanaha. See, every time when the harvest is during the harvest season, when harvesting is done and we get new fresh grains. So before the harvest, before we start harvesting also we do puja, and even after harvesting also, and we perform rituals and offering the freshly got the newly harvested grains. So this is called agrayanam. And whichever ritual is performed, whether it's a darshaha, paurnamasaha, nityagnihotraha or agrayanaha, chaturmasaha, in performing every ritual, giving dhanam is karmanga. Karmanga means dhanam is a part of the ritual. Only if you give, the ritual is complete. We give food, anna dhanam, vastra dhanam, let them many go dhanam, etc. So many dhanams are involved. But not a big dhanams, at least some dhanam must be given. So dhanam is involved in all the rituals as karmanga, as part of the ritual. Only by after giving the ritual becomes complete. Therefore, it is not simply consuming, taking everything from the nature. One must be sensitive enough to return something also. Therefore, the giving is compulsory in all the rituals. And here, why this is, we are inclined to take everything from nature. We are inclined to take anything from other people. And are we interested in giving back something to society or the world or to the nature? Nature which gives does not expect us to give back anything, does not ask us also. But there must be sensitivity that we must be able to return something back to the well-being of the world. And that natural tendency not to give is because of the sense of inadequacy, the sense of insecurity centered on I. The sense of insecurity, sense of inadequacy is because of the ignorance of the self. Therefore, it's the problem associated with the ignorance. Ignorance caused to problem. So it is solution is only the knowledge. Even then, at least we must, so this problem of the fundamental problem of sense of insecurity, inadequacy will resolve only in the wake of knowledge, spiritual wisdom. But until then, until we resolve this problem, we can't afford to be hoarding and not giving anything. Therefore, the ritual itself involves dhanam. Because we must learn to give. Even you must give naturally. If we are not inclined to give also, shastram in the form of worship, shastram makes us give, share. So not only we don't become only the mere consumers, we also become contributors, sharers. Therefore, every ritual involves dhanam as an important integral part of the ritual. Therefore, it is said in the mantra, if you see, next, anagrayanam. So, yasya agnihotram adarsham apurnamasam achaturmasam anagrayanam atithivarjitam cha. That is why, then, atithi pujanam. Next is what? Atithi pujanam is another important, not even ritual, say atithi pujanam. We have seen what is darshaha, so agnihotraha, darshaha, purnamasaha, chaturmasaha, agrayanaha. Now atithi puja, atithi pujanam is the next one. So whenever a guest comes, who is atithi? The one who comes without informing you that time and date of arrival is called atithihi. Titim anuktva yaha agachati saha atithihi. Titihi means date, Vedic calendar date. So without informing the person, informing anyone of the arrival of, the date and time of the arrival, whoever lands at the doorstep is called atithihi. Suppose atithi comes, and one must anticipate, one must be very happy to receive the atithi guest, and one must receive him properly. And there is a particular ritual how one must treat the guest also. So invite the guest like guest, then give him first some water to wash the feet, then help him relax, then make the person welcomed and make the person feel comfortable, feel at home, and give him food. And ask him, help him to have shower and help him to have food, and give him some, you know, ask him, help him to rest also in your house. He will be able to sleep also well. At least for a day or two, he may stay and go. So it's called atithi pujanam. So atithi pujanam means receiving the guest like receiving Bhagavan at home. And this is atithi pujanam. So here it is said in this mantra, if a ritual agnihotra, the performer of an agnihotram ritual, he simply performs agnihotram ritual alone daily twice a day. But if he does not perform darsha ritual, does not perform paurnamasa ritual, he does not perform chaturmasa ritual, if does not perform agrayana ritual, and if does not really bother to worship guests, does not treat the guests well, then his agnihotram will be what? It will not be effective. Will not produce any benefit. Not only it will not produce any benefit, it will also destroy the punyam of people of 7 generations. Therefore, it is said, darsham, adarsham means agnihotram performed without darsha ritual is called adarsham, adarshaha. Agnihotram performed without paurnamasa is called apaurnamasaha. Agnihotram performed without chaturmasya is called achaturmasya. Agnihotram performed without agrayana ritual is called anagrayanaha. And agnihotram performed without having any respect for guests, without doing any, without honoring the guest, is called atithi varjita. Varjita means devoid. Agnihotram ritual performed, which is devoid of the Atithi Puja, worship of the Atithi guests. Atithi Varjitam, without having any guests, even one day or even one meal. Simply person performs Agnihotra means, his Agnihotram is what? Atithi Varjitam Agnihotram. So Adarsham Agnihotram, Apurnamasam Agnihotram, Achat, that before every word is what? Diva, without that. Achatur Masyam, Anagrayanam, Agrayanam, Anagrayanam, then Atithi Varjitam Agnihotram. Not only that, he says, Ahutam. See, Hutam means given, offered. Hutam means offered. Ahutam. Ahutam means improperly offered. Not properly. Whatever oblations have to be offered must be offered properly. It's called Ahutam. Ahutam, then you can see next word, Avaishvadevam, Avaishvadevam. So Vishve Devaha means all devas. Vaishvadevam is a ritual. Vaishvadevam is a ritual. Mean Vishvam, the word Vishve Devaha means all beings. Means all other beings. Not only human beings, all other living beings also. Vaishva Devam is a ritual wherein one offers food for other living creatures. Offering food for other living beings. Plants and also animals. So it's called Bhuta Yajna. You heard about the Bhuta Yajna. So Vaishva Devaha implies Bhuta Yajna. Bhuta Yajna means offering food to other creatures, other animals and plants. Bhuta Yajna. So Bhuta Yajna alone in Vedic term is also known as what? Vaishva Devaha. And Avaishva Devaha Agnihotra means what? Agnihotram ritual performed without offering food to other living creatures, animals and plants. It was Avaishva Devaha. Then also the Agnihotram will not be effective. If the person is not conscious of other living creatures, he does not share anything for other beings, does not think of the well-being of animals, well-being of plants, and he does not really share anything with other creatures. But still he performs Agnihotram ritual. Then his Agnihotram will be what? Avaishva Devaha Agnihotraha. And that Agnihotram ritual performed, however well performed also, if it is devoid of, it is not with Vaishva Deva, the performer does not offer any food for other animals and plants, then his ritual is what? Will not be effective. Avaishva Devaha. So Vishvaishva Devaha means offering oblations to Vishve Devaha means all beings. Chadevatas. It is not offering animals. It is offering food to the animals. Offering food to the animals. It's not cutting the plants, offering food to the plants. That's why watering Vallalaranal was such a sensitive Mahatma. He could not stand even when he saw a creeper was fading in the sunlight. So offering water to plants, giving food to animals, even feeding, giving water to animals, that's a great seva. So Shastra emphasizes that. So Bhuta Yajna, then is said to be Vaishva Devaha. So Avaishva Devaha means it, then Agnihotam will not be effective. Then Avidina Hutam. So if the oblations to be offered are not properly offered, it's called ahutam. Avidhinahutam means without following the rules and regulations, the stipulations, your person performs the ritual the way he wants to perform. Vidhinahutam means performing, offering oblations as per the stipulations is called vidhinahutam. Avidhinahutam means a ritual performed without following the instructions of the shastram. Avidhina, improperly performed ritual. There were avidhinahutam. So if Agnihotram is performed, if it has this defect of, if it involves the defect of not performing other rituals, not feeding other beings, or not offering properly what oblations have to be offered, or not following the rules we followed in performing the ritual, becomes avidhinahutam. For it is said, avidhinahutam, if that is then, the person whose ritual is like this, tasya asaptaman lokan hinasti. Got it now? Tasya asaptaman lokan hinasti means that improperly performed ritual, which is devoid of, which has the defect of not having performed all these rituals, will destroy the punyam of people of 7 generations to come. Oh my God, I earned for punyam for 7 generations. All punyam will be destroyed. That's why do it properly. See, we are not, please understand, we are expected to perform Agnihotram ritual. The Shraddha you must have and expected to perform. But here the Shastram says, why? Shastram wants us to understand the limitations of karma and karma phalam. You make so much of effort to prepare everything, you perform the rituals, and the performed ritual will not be effective if you do not do it properly. Okay, even if the ritual is effective, still it will give you only what? Time-bound results. So what is, what do you want? Timeless result. What you want is timeless, everlasting happiness and peace means, for that you need only jnanam, not karma phalam. So even if you perform karma, you can only get perfectly perform only, you will get what? Some punyam. The punyam will help you get time-bound results. Not moksha. Jnanam alone will give you what exactly you want. And even to get time-bound results also, to make it effective, you must do all this. So this involves hardship, involves difficulty. Not that easy. That is why it is said, see, don't think in this second section of Mundaka Upanishad, first Mundaka, Upanishad discusses about the aparavidya, not to discourage us, not to make us feel frightened. But Upanishad's aim is to make us, help us understand the limitations of karma and karma phalam. If we understand the limitation of karma and karma phalam, we will be more interested in jnanam. So in order to enthuse us to become more committed to the attainment of knowledge, Shastram talks about the limitations of karma and karma phalam. Therefore, Upanishad discusses the aparavidya in the second section. Is it clear? Okay. The Agnihotri's ritual will destroy improperly, if the Agnihotri is performed improperly, without Darsha, without Purnamasa, without Agnihotri, etc., then it will result in losing, not having their benefits. Not only you don't have the benefits, you will lose what you have also. It will bestow the punyam earned of for 7 generations. This is the punyam of people of 7 generations to come also. Asaptaman lokan hinasti. Again, next in the last word, next class. Let us read the mantra again. Yasya agnihotra madarshama purnamasam. I want to learn to memorize the mantras. Yasya agnihotra madarshama purnamasam. Achaturmasyam anagrayanam athiti varjitam cha. Achaturmasyam anagrayanam athiti varjitam cha. Ahutamavaishvadevam avidhinahutam asaptamam stasya lokan hinasti. Got it? Okay. Asaptamam stasya lokan hinasti. So let's explain next class. Anything extra you need to know? In the regarding this verse, I'll teach next class. Any doubts in what we have learned today?
So many. Samiddha, previous verse.
Yeah. See, Iddha is a past passive participle. Kindled. Samiddha, Samyak Iddha, Samiddha. Sam is the prefix. Samiddha, well kindled. Okay, Iddha is a participle. Kindled. Samiddha, well kindled. Samiddha. Havyavahanaha means samiddaha agni, well kindled fire, nominative case. Samidde havyavahane in the well kindled fire, locative case. But here, samidde we should not take it as simple locative case, it is sati saptami. See, samidde havyavahane, yet when the fire is kindled well, comma, then when the fire moves about, okay. See, for a second, when the flame moves about, archihi lelayate. The simple sentence, archihi lelayate, flame moves about. Yada archihi lelayate. When the flame moves about. When does the flame move out? When the fire is well kindled, okay. Here, instead of using yada, this is the word sati saptami. Yada agni havyavahanaha samiddaha bhavati tada. Instead of saying it, samidde havyavahane, when the fire is kindled well, comma, then when the flame moves about, yada le archihi lelayate, yada hi archihi archish. Shabda. Archihi lelayate. Okay. Archihi lelayate. Tada ahutihi pratipadaye. Then one should offer oblations. Before the fire is kindled well, before the flame comes out and moves about, one should not offer oblations. Oblation must be offered only when the flame moves about.
Samiji.
Okay. Yeah. One second. Let me make it. Then, Ajyabhago Antarena. And in the middle, in between Ajyabhagas, in between the portions of the Homakonda, where oblation ghee is offered. Ajya Bhagaha means the part of the Agnikunda where the ghee is offered, which is not given in the mantra. We have to understand right and the left sides of the Agnikunda in between. So it implies in the middle of the central part of the Agnikunda one must offer. And then I want to tell you one thing. Archish. Archihi. Hi archihi archis. Hi archihi. Hyarchihi. Hyarchihi visarga se sakaranta shabda. Archihi sakaranta shabda. Sakaranta napumsaka lingaha. If I said earlier archi is something, I might have said by slip of a tongue. Please make a note. Archihi
means sakarantaha napumsakalingaha shabda. Archi, one of them, archihi means light, archihi means luster, archihi means a ray of light, archihi means brilliance, archihi means flame. Archihi, archi actually sakar, archis shabda. Is it clear? Sakarantaha napum sakalingaha archis shabdaha. I'm sure it's clear, isn't it? Yes, yes, Amma.
Yes, that my understanding was Amavasya is the dark night and next day is a new moon, which is Pratipada. That, like that, isn't it? I don't know.
Amavasya is a new moon day.
Amavasya is a new moon day. It's not dark night it called.
Yeah, okay. Dark night is the same way, na? Amavasya's dark name is new moon day, only dark night. Dark.
Okay. Oh, so I thought one dark night, then next day will be new moon. So no, same day. Okay.
See, the day, Amavasya Tithi. The whole day is called Amavasya.
Okay.
Night will be not dark, day will be day, right? But see, the Tithi is Amavasya Tithi.
So it's called New Moon Tithi, that one.
New Moon Day.
Okay. Thank you.
Amavasya is called New Moon Day.
Okay, thank you.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.